for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, December the 27th, 2009. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on A Perverse Spirit.
Glory to the Lord. But when I'm weak, I'm strong. His strength is made perfect in my weakness, right? Not my strength. Praise the Lord. Tonight I want to share on a perverse spirit, or a spirit of stubbornness. The word stubborn, or the word perverse, means fixed, firm, and it's also the same definition for steadfast. God's word says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. A person that is steadfast is also stubborn. But a perverse person is stubborn for the things of evil, where a steadfast person is stubborn for the things of God. Stubborn means to be obstinate, inflexible, fixed in opinion, not to be moved or persuaded by reason. It means persevering, persisting, steady, constant. And the positive side of stubborn means to be steadfast, immovable. You know you're steadfast when you're a person that won't compromise. You would know you were steadfast if you were facing a firing squad and someone wanted to tell you that if you renounced Christ, you could spare your life. A steadfast person would not bend toward evil. On the negative side, to be stubborn is to be perverse, which literally means to be turned aside, distorted from what's right, not necessarily sexually perverted, but can be sexually perverted. A person who's perverse is crooked. You know, the Bible talks about walking the straight path, which is a picture of walking the path of righteousness, where a perverse person or a crooked person would walk a crooked path, deviating from the ways of God. And so perverse means also obstinate in wrong, disposed to be contrary, untrackable, which is not yielding to discipline, ungovernable, difficult, not yielding to the heat or the hammer, unwilling to be governed or controlled. It means indocile, which means unteachable, dull, dullness of intellect. So that could also be a reason why you have a problem learning, comprehending, understanding, or getting it when spiritual principles are being shared. It means cross, which means petulant, which means to be saucy, pert, froward, with fretfulness or sourness of temper. It means to be lewd and fickle, licentious, which means excessive indulgence of liberty, contempt of the just restraints of law, morality, or decorum, which is your speech or your behavior. It means indulging in sensuality without restraint, wanton, freakish in passion, lewd. It means peevish, which means to be fretful. Are you a person that is fretful, apt to murder, murder? Well, you do murder with your mouth. Apt to mutter, complain, be easily vexed or fretted. It means to be querulous, which means disposed to murmur and express complaint, as in a querulous, a love to share what's on your mind. It means to be hard to please and to be easily vexed and discontented. That's the picture of a perverse person, a crooked person, a person that is perverse. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to show each person, myself included, if that spirit is working in us. Father, we don't want a perverse spirit. We want a steadfast spirit. Lord, David prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a steadfast spirit. And Lord, we want a steadfast spirit. I ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, to take human words and make them be able to say more than they could normally say. Lord, if you don't breathe life into this message, it'll just be a bunch of words. So Lord, I just receive your anointing. And I ask you, Lord, to make me a tree of life. Let rivers of living water come forth from my innermost being. And Lord, I thank you that I've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, rulers of darkness and wicked spirits in heavenly places. Lord, we take our seat in the heavenly places. We take the keys you've given us to the kingdom of heaven to bind and loose, the Kratos power, the Dunamis power, the Exousia power. And we bind you, Satan, from this camp. We bind you from Glenn, from Patty, from Kevin. We bind you in the name of Jesus, from Ralph and Tammy and Tom. And we bind you from Ada and Don. We bind you in the name of Jesus, from Rhonda, from Linda, from Kevin, from every person who works at this camp. We bind you from Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. We bind you from everything that concerns us in the mighty name of Jesus. We break your power in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And Lord, we bind and break every word, curse, spell, hex, vex, charm, incantation, divination, assault, assignment, attachment, voodoo magic, black magic, witchcraft. We bind and break the power of voodoo, rituals, words of death, words of iniquity, curses, assignments, and rituals spoken over Glenn and every person at this camp. We break the power of every word of death, word of iniquity, every curse assignment against our finances, against our health, against everything that concerns us in the name of Jesus. And we bind every spirit that would try to work in this meeting that would not confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, we ask you to cover us with the blood of Jesus. And let each person hear what it is that we are to hear. And Lord, I ask you, let rivers of living water come forth to touch your children in Jesus' name. Okay, if you'll go to Deuteronomy 32, please. Praise you, Lord. I want to confess that my eyes were better today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I shared recently about the rice. They took the rice. I'm going to share this with those of you who haven't heard about the rice, because this was life-changing for me. I was reading Bill Gothard's seventh book, Seven Deadly Stresses, and he talked about that there was a true experiment where they cooked rice and they put it in two separate jars, put it 4 foot apart and the same temperature, and for 17 days they cursed the one jar of rice and they blessed the other jar of rice, and at the end of 17 days, the rice that was cursed was rotten and black and stunk, and the rice that they blessed smelt good, and it was still white. Well, if that would do that to rice, what would that do to our body parts? And I felt led recently, about a month ago or 2 months ago, and I know it was from the Lord, to pull up a picture of the anatomy of the eye and start blessing every part of my eye. The optic nerve, the retina, the macula, the viscous, the posterior and anterior chambers, to start blessing. If that can change rice, that ought to change some other things, right? Okay, and I just, so thank you, Lord. Okay, Deuteronomy 32. Please, turn to Deuteronomy 32. Verse 4. It says the rock, and of course we know the rock's Jesus. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. They, speaking of God's children, have acted corruptly toward him. They are not his children because of defect. And that word defect means want or absence of something necessary or useful towards perfection, fault, failing, imperfection in moral conduct, to be deficient, failing to come, basically failing to come to God's throne of grace. The Bible says the humble get grace. It says they're not his children because of their defect, but are a perverse. Now they claim to be his children, which is where the church is, Carl talked about the church. Howard Pittman says 90% of the church is lost. Leonard Ravenhill said 98% of the church is lost. And most people in the church have a religious spirit because what they believe with their head has never got down to a heart transformation. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Now, if I talk about being born again, if you've been born again, you know what I'm talking about. You can't explain it. It's when God does a work in your heart and all you know is that you're not like you used to be. And but if you've never been born again and you've just accepted Jesus, you don't really know what we're talking about. You mean, well, did I pray the prayer? Well, the Bible says that the demons believe until they shudder. And so, and in John 2, it says that many believed on his name and believed in Jesus and the miracles that he was doing, but he, because he knew their hearts, he didn't give himself to them. And so, a person that is perverse is not really his child. It says, but you can have a perverse spirit working in you. It says, but, and still know the Lord. But are, it says, but they're not his children because of defect, but they're perverse and crooked, a crooked generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? And then I'm just going to skip down and you can read the whole thing when you're at home. Verse 12, it says, the Lord alone guided him, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the product of the field, and he made him suck honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds of cows and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and rams, the breed of Bashan and goats, with the finest of wheat, and of the blood of grapes you drink wine. Verse 15, but Jezreel, which is another word for Israel, another word for the people of God, it means the upright one. But Jezreel grew fat. It means to be fat, fattened, to cover over with fat, to cover over the heart with fat, so that a person, to render a person so that they cannot hear God. It means to be calloused, which is one of the roots to cataracts. There may be others. But you know, a cataract is like a callus on your eyes, and your eyes are tied in with your heart, how you see. It says, Jezreel, the people of God, grew fat and kicked. You've grown fat, thick, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. Now we've just been reading that these people are perverse and crooked. They made him, God, jealous with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they've not known. And you can put Revelation 9:20 there that says that if you worship idols, you worship demons. And you say, well, you know, how does that apply to me? Because I'm a Christian and I don't bow down to, I don't have false gods. I don't bow down to Kali or Buddha. You know what our false gods are? Is you've got to love me, you've got to notice me, you've got to meet my needs, you've got to communicate with me. Anything that pushes your button is attached to a hot wire that's attached to an idol. And I want you to see this here in the Word of God. Anything that rains on your parade, makes you angry, makes you jealous, makes you fearful, causes you to lose your perspective, causes you to lose your understanding, causes you to be hurt, is linked to idolatry. Everything that makes you depressed, you're just depressed because life don't go the way you think it ought to go. You know what? We have to get on God's potter's wheel and let God make us into what he created us to be. Amen? Because he's the potter and we're the clay. And the Bible says that God does exactly what he wants to do, but we can't. He's God. Okay, now I want you to see the progression of God's children here that are perverse and crooked. They sacrifice to gods, false gods. And that's what we do because the Bible says that rebellion is as witchcraft and all iniquity is as idolatry. So every sin that we commit is idolatry. It says, you, in verse 18, you neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. And the Lord saw this and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. Then he, God, said, I'll hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they're a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They're not faithful to me. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. You see, idols provoke God to anger. God says, you'll have no other gods before me. So I will make them, now I want you to see what happens, the fruit of idolatry. God says, I'll make them jealous. You see, jealousy is linked to idolatry. And then he says, I'll provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So you see that anger is rooted in idolatry. You can go to all the anger resolution seminars you want to go to, but you will stay angry till you lay down your idol. Just like Abraham did Isaac, he had to take his idol up the mountain and put a knife to it. We have to give up our life that we might find it. We hold on to our life and we'll lose it. Some of you feel like you've been losing your life, and that's the reason, because we've been holding on to it. You know, God is shaking loose right now in the true church. He's shaking loose everything that is shakable so that those things that are unshakable will remain. And we're living in days, as Carl said, if you do not obey the Lord, you will not make it. Going to church is not going to get it. You've got to obey the Lord, and we better know what the Word of God says, because if you don't, that's a plumb line. And can I just warn you, just thinking you're just listening to God and it's not lining up with what the Word of God, the plumb line, said, you can get led astray by a demon really easy. So this is the plumb line, the Word of God. God exalts this Word over His name. So don't underestimate the power of this Word. Can I tell you, this Word will still be standing when all of the false prophets are dead and gone? They have so watered down the Word of God in the church. You can hardly find a church that's teaching the Word of God today. We were talking about that at the table, Carl and I and some of us. They've been sold down the tube. They have sold out the church, just like the senators and the congressional leaders have sold out America. The church is so worldly today. There's no repentance, there's no holiness, and there's things going on in the name of revival that is witchcraft. It's not the Lord. And so be careful. I've been kind of investigating some of these groups. Did you know that there's a group called the Council of National Policy? It's supposed to be the opposite of the Council on Foreign Relations. Many people in the Council of National Policy are also Freemasons, and they're also Council on Foreign Relations. And Council on Foreign Relations is the front group for the Illuminati, which is the highest up satanic organization in the world. And many people in this Council of National Policy, these evangelicals that have all this money, you would not believe how many of them have taken money from Reverend Sun Moon. Even some of them are even presidents of some of his organizations. Now, he claims to be God. Is that abominable? You know, Jesus said the love of money is the root of all evil. And there's many people that people are looking to as a prophet, and I get them all the time, these nutcake, fruitcake prophecies that don't even line up with the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, listen, time is short. You better get in the Word and start reading it to know what it says, because if you're put in a concentration camp, the only word you might have is what you've hidden in your heart. And I pray to God that that doesn't happen to us, but let me tell you, God says the steps of a righteous man are ordered, and if our steps are ordered, wherever we are, we're ordered. And that gives me a lot of peace, that wherever God has me, it's for a purpose. Amen? But a perverse person is not the least interested in doing what God wants him to do. Okay, you see that jealousy and anger is the fruit of idolatry. Look in verse 23. I'll heap misfortunes on them. You see, that's the fruit of idolatry, affliction. I'll use my arrows on them. But Job 6:4, Job said, the arrows of the Almighty are within me. Now, the devil is the one that attacked Job, but God gave him permission. But Job never said, the devil's arrows are in me. He said, the arrows of the Almighty are in me. They shall be wasted by famine. King James says hunger. That could be the root of why we're always hungry. And consumed by plague. There you see sickness and disease. And bitter destruction and the teeth of beasts, fruit of idolatry. With the venom of crawling things of the dust, outside the sword shall bereave, and inside terror. That's a stronger word than fear. And that word in the Hebrew means the idol is the boogie bear. Well, what does that mean? It means it scares you to death if you think you're going to have to get rid of it. Oh, no, God, don't take that away from me. Have y'all ever done that, or am I the only one? I used to sit in some of Dave Wilkerson's meetings years ago, and I'd say, oh, dear God, I hope you don't tell me I have to get rid of this. This was years ago, thank God. I don't do that anymore. Now I'm thinking, oh, God, where can I please you? Go to, let's keep reading. Verse 28, it says, they're a nation lacking in counsel, and they have no understanding in them. Now, Hosea 4 says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And then it goes on and says, because they rejected knowledge. And then it goes on to say, harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. Ezekiel 14 says, when we have idols, we put before our faces the stumbling block of our iniquity. And so when we have idols, we lose our understanding, which is the truth that sets us free. In Proverbs 15:32, it says that if we accept God's discipline, that we will gain understanding. Whoever hates discipline despises himself, which is the root of self-hatred. It says, but whoever lets God discipline him will gain understanding, and that is the truth that sets him free. And we talked about this in the ladies' meeting, that when we go to God and ask him, he'll give us understanding, which is the truth that sets us free. Hosea 4 says that the people without understanding are ruined. Proverbs says, proceed in the way of understanding, forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. Understanding is the opposite of folly. So they lose their understanding because of the idols. It says, would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would discern their future, how one could chase 1,000 and two could put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them. Now, when our covenant partner, when we have idols, we don't have anybody defending us, because God is our defender. And if we have an idol, we're substituting our idol for God. And I just bind the spirits that are trying to distract people and put them to sleep in Jesus' name. It says, how one could chase a, how, it says, would that they were wise, that they would have understood their future, that how one could chase 1,000 and two could put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them. And the Lord has given them up. Indeed, their rock, when you have an idol, it says, their rock is not like our rock, Jesus, because an idol is a counterfeit. Even our enemies themselves judge this, for their vine is from the vine of Sodom. You see, when you're connected to the true vine, your life will produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. But in Galatians 5:19, if you'll turn there, in Galatians 5:19, it talks about the fruit of the flesh, which is the vine of Sodom. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger. Oh, I thought it was okay to have a little bit of anger. Outburst of anger. You know, when you're really wounded, you're like raw meat. Everybody's pushing your button and everything. The Bible says a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions because he's full of idols. Let me say this, wherever you get angry, can I tell you there's an idol there? Wherever I get angry, there's an idol there. And don't sit there and feel hopeless. Hey, God is letting you see that so you can lay it down, give it up, and let it go. It says, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness. Now, we can get drunk on alcohol, we can get drunk on prescription drugs, we can get drunk on illegal drugs, and we can get drunk on food. How many of you have been drunk on food? Oh, my goodness. That's miserable. It says, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarn you. Now, it's not an all-conclusive list, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you have to deal with your toxic emotions. You have to deal with your anger, your bitterness, your hatred, your meanness. You have to deal with your negativity. You have to deal with your hurt, your self-pity. Some people don't even want to get well, because then if they got well and they wouldn't get attention. They wouldn't have nobody to pity them anymore. God says if we practice such things, we'll not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not a one-time sin. It's a lifestyle. And ask yourself, if somebody were to describe you, would they say that you practice these things? If you practice these things, you have to repent. So many times I have so many people that will email me and they'll tell me so many problems. Do you think that this is, I'm having all these physical problems. Do you think this is a spiritual problem? Absolutely. It's idolatry. You just need to repent. We need to repent. I need to repent. You know, people look at you today when you repent all the time like, you know, you really must be bad. You just repent all the time. You're kind of strange. I'm amazed at how many people in the church don't even know that you're supposed to confess your sin. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you confess your sin. Okay, let's keep reading. It says, indeed, their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this, for their vine is from the vine of Sodom. The true vine produces love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. But the vine of Sodom produces the works of the flesh. It says, their rock is not like our rock. Our rock is Jesus. It says, their grapes are grapes of poison. It means the juice of poppies that make people drunk. This drunkenness movement is not, it's a curse. It's not a blessing. It says, their clusters bitter, their wine is the venom of serpents and the deadly poison of cobras. Is it not laid up in store with me, sealed up in my treasury? Vengeance is mine and retribution. Verse 36, for the Lord will vindicate his people and will have compassion on his servants when he sees that their strength is gone. The minute you lay down your idol, the demons are gone. You see how Jesus said you have to give up your life that you might find it. And so keep reading. It says, and there is none remaining, bond or free. And he'll say, where are their gods when we give up our strength? Who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their libation? Let them rise up and help you, your idols. Let them be your hiding place. That's not a very good place to hide. The Bible says that you'll be like the first ripe fig of summer. You'll fall into the eater's mouth. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. Did you know you can be in the belly of the devil? Those of you who have ministered deliverance, have you ever prayed for somebody and nothing happens? You can just feel a wall? They're swallowed up. You got to get them out of there before you can get the demons out of them. One day, the Lord showed me this. I was praying for a lady, and the Lord, I was thinking, Lord, how am I going to get her out of there? And the Lord said, jerk her out. So I grabbed her hands and I jerked her out, and I said, come out of there. She said, well, I felt that. And you know, it's a spiritual place. You can't see it with the naked eye. Just like the name of Jesus is a strong tower, the righteous can run into it and are safe. The name of Jesus is more real than this building. but we can't see it with the naked eye. Well, the enemy has a hiding place. We just read this. See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. So you see the woundedness? The wounded spirit is rooted in idolatry because I didn't forgive somebody or I didn't ask God to forgive me for something that I did. I let the sun go down on my anger. You know, if somebody hurts your feelings before you leave here and you don't forgive them tonight before you go to bed, you've got a wound right there. Not counting all the childhood wounds. Psalm 78 says the sons of Ephraim, Ephraim means double fruit, they produce for the Lord and they produce for the devil, were archers equipped with bows, yet they turn back in the day of battle. And a person that's perverse and crooked will turn back. They had all the tools, as God says he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. They were given those things, but yet they choose to live in defeat rather than victory. And the promises of God are to the overcomer. We've got, all of us have got things. Every one of us have got things that we have to overcome. There's giants in our land. And the one that's looming up the biggest in your face is the next one you got to conquer. Verse 56 says, they tempted and they rebelled against the Most High God. They turned back and acted treacherously or unfaithfully. They provoked God with their high places, and you and I provoke God with our high places. The Amplified said they were like a treacherous bow that did not respond to the archer's aim. Be like aiming a bow, but instead of hitting the target, the bow goes this way. And that's what a perverse, crooked person does. Psalms 106 says they exchanged his image for an image that eats grass, for an ox that eats grass. Romans 1 says even though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man. And then God gave them over to a reprobate mind, which is one of the roots to Alzheimer's. Now I hear these prophets, oh my goodness. They'll say, you know, in fact I just read one yesterday that was sent out by an intercessor, a different one, and I hear some by another false prophet. And they say, God says he's going to find a cure for Alzheimer's. Why would he say that when he already said it's sin and it's a curse, that you're under a curse? Why would he say he's going to heal it when he already told you repent and that'll heal it? You see, that doesn't bear witness to the word of God. Proverbs 11:29 says the perverse in heart are an abomination to God. Now let's look at some of the characteristics of a person that's perverse and stubborn. The first characteristic is that his ways block. The Bible says the way of a perverse person, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards himself will be far from them. The other day the Lord was telling me, showed me a revelation about a sluggard. I know a particular girl that she's coming out of it, but she is the There is a sluggard spirit on her. It's like a fly with his feet stuck to flypaper. You can't ever move out. It's like, you know, and she really, I think, wants to overcome it, but because there's such a sluggard spirit on her, every way she goes, she's blocked. And that's the same way with a perverse person that's perverse. The second thing is, a person that's perverse and crooked will not yield to discipline, will not let God discipline them. They want to be in control. They're not steadfast in the ways of God, stubborn for their idols. Hebrews 12 says that if you're without discipline, you're a bastard child. You're illegitimate. You know, when we get saved, God sets out to correct those things that mom and dad didn't. Mom and dad made a lot of mistakes. You can have the best parents in the whole world, and they made mistakes. And so when we come to Christ, he disciplines us and he retrains us because we were trained up in many ways in the way that we should not go. So he lets us have a problem so we can ask him, if we're wise enough, what are you trying to teach me, Lord? And God says in Hebrews 12, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Proverbs 3:11 says, my son, do not despise or shrink from the chastening of the Lord. his correction by punishment or subjection to a suffering or trial. Neither be weary of or impatient about or loathe or abhor his reproof. You see, we sometimes think we have a problem that's bad. Problems are good because they lead you to try to, if you're wise, to try to find out, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? There's a lesson through everything that you go through. And most of the time, it's rooted in childhood, unresolved childhood issues. And I've said that so many times. But honoring your father and mother, it says, if you honor your father and mother, life will go well for you. If you dishonor them, life will not go well. And honor means forgive them by sundown. It doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean that you have to pattern your life after them. If they're satanic, you don't even have to fellowship with them. But it means by sundown, you forgive them for their poor stewardship. And forgiveness is a choice. It's not an emotion. I choose to do it because I love God more than I love this demon of unforgiveness. Besides, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Proverbs 16:22 says that the discipline of a fool is folly. An example, if you don't let God discipline you, you're going to get disciplined by your folly. For example, if you overeat, guess what? Your folly disciplines you. You get fat. That's very telling, isn't it, Frank McGee? If you're into sexual perversion, your folly will discipline you. AIDS, chlamydia, syphilis, gonorrhea, crabs, and no telling what all. You go out and you get lawless with your credit cards, and your credit cards discipline you, your folly. Are you getting the picture? You either go God's way and let him discipline you, or your folly will discipline you. And whatever you sin with is where the judgment will be. You know, my son died a terrible death, but praise God he came to know Jesus. Everything that he had sinned with had judgment on it. He went blind in his eye from looking at pornography. His testicles were this big, swollen up, had herpes lesions, Kaposi sarcoma, constant cough. He died of AIDS. His folly disciplined him. And you know what? That sin is no worse than any other sin. Sin is sin. Adultery in the church, I am amazed at how many people in the church think nothing of shacking up. Nothing. No convictions whatsoever. You know what? That's a pretty good sign you're lost. You need to get saved. If you've done that, you need to break soul ties with every person that you've sinned with. Because you can get the sicknesses, the diseases, the addictions, and the demons of whoever you sin with. So you either let God discipline you or your folly will discipline you. Go to Proverbs chapter 7, verse 13, and you'll see the picture of a person who chooses the discipline of folly. Proverbs chapter 7. And you can also apply this to physical adultery, but you can also apply it to spiritual adultery. You know, when you pray a prayer to receive Jesus, you're going to be the bride of Christ. Is that right? When you pray a prayer to receive Jesus, you're entering into a covenant relationship to be the bride of Christ. And if your heart goes after another lover, you've committed spiritual adultery. That's why God says in James, you adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Any man who wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. An enemy of God, if we're an adulteress. Okay, 7, verse 13. It says, my son, keep my word and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Lord, we haven't done that. You know, just repent over the word and you'll get tremendous deliverance. 7. I said 7:1, but I'm really going to skip over. Read the whole thing. Repent over the whole thing. How you repent over the word. Lord, forgive me for not keeping your commandments so I can live. Forgive me for not keeping your teaching as the apple of my eye. Forgive me for not binding them on my fingers and writing them on the tablet of my heart. Lord, I don't know how to do that, but I ask you to write it on my heart and bind it around my fingers. Verse 5, and they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. You know, there's a physical harlot, but there's also a voice of the harlot that says, turn in here. Ah, little sins, okay. Turn in here. The way of wisdom says you turn this way. The way of the harlot says you turn this way. Turn in here. Verse 13. It says, so she seizes him. Well, let's back up. Did I say? Verse 13. Verse 7. And I saw among the naive, which means simple, silly, and foolish. I discerned among the youth a young man lacking sense, passing through the streets near her corner, and he takes the way to her house. This is to a physical harlot, but it also applies in the spirit realm and to a spiritual harlot. In the twilight, in the evenings, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness, and behold, a woman comes out to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She's boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She's now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner. Now, that can be a real prostitute, or that can be the voice of a demon trying to get you to sin. So she seizes him and kisses him, and with a brazen face, she says to him, I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I have paid my vows. Therefore, I have come out to meet you to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love in the morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses, for the man is not at home. So this, she's talking about committing adultery. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. With her many persuasions, she entices him with her flattering lips. And can I tell you, this harlot can be a man or a woman, because men and women are going to be the bride of Christ. There's many men that seduce silly women. Suddenly, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver as a bird hastens to the snare. There's one of the roots to liver problems. And it could be generationally. So he does not know that it will cost him his life. Now therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your hearts turn aside from her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. If you've been guilty of doing that, we need to ask God to forgive us and break soul ties. Can I tell you, when you confess your sin and you repent, God forgives you and he separates your sin as far as the east is from the west, but you've got to confess it and you've got to stop doing it. And you have to break soul ties, because through a soul tie, you got their demons. So that's a picture of a person in a discipline to a folly. The next thing is, they'll not yield a heat or hammer. Proverbs 29:1 says, a man who hardens his neck after much reproof shall suddenly be broken beyond remedy. Like this brother was saying, praise God, you had a little breaking. It could have been much worse. And you know what? It's for all of us. God will get your attention, as he said. I remember a time when he took a two before. It was like he took a two before right between my eyes. I used to be so judgmental of anybody that got a divorce. I was teaching Sunday school at this church, so self-righteous, I'd make somebody sick at their stomach. And I used to think, I didn't say, I can't believe this preacher lets these divorced people teach in the church. One day my husband came home, he got involved with his secretary, and it was like a bore, a two-before right between the eyes. From then on, well, at least they're not divorced. Most heartbreaking thing that I ever went through in my entire life. But you know what? God, if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. And I know all the pride is not out of me yet, but I'm saying, God, please show it to me before you have to do something about it. And so Proverbs 26:3 says, a whip is for the donkey, a bridle for the mule, and a rod for the back of a fool. That can be one of the roots to back problems. Go to Jeremiah chapter 6, please. Verse 27. God is speaking to Jeremiah. He said, I've made you an assayer and a tester among my people that you may know and assay their way. All of them are stubbornly rebellious, going about as a talebearer. They're bronze and iron. All of them are corrupt. The bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed. In vain, the refining goes on, but the wicked are not separated. They are caught. They call them rejected silver. You know, a silversmith will melt down the silver, and he'll keep, usually seven times, he'll get it into a liquid state, and he'll skim it. The dross, when he melts it, the impurities of the silver will come up, and then he'll skim it off, and usually he'll do it seven times until he knows it's pure, when he can see a clear reflection of his face in the silver. So God is saying in this passage, I'm letting these people go through all kinds of trials, and they won't let go of their sin. They won't let me purify them. They won't let me discipline them. And he says, in vain, they don't get it. The refining goes on. Problem after problem after problem after problem. And God says, they call them rejected silver. But the wicked are not separated. They call them rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them. You see, we're led to believe in the church today that you can keep your toxic emotions and still go to heaven. You see, God lets you go through things because he's wanting you to release unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and hatred and meanness and jealousy and depression. And he wants you to release that in the midst of your trial so you get purified. And then guess what? That's over. And he might let you rest a few days. He does me this way. He lets me rest a few days, and then he'll let something else get stirred up. And I say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? I receive his discipline, and I get purified some more. But you see, if I don't do that, the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see God. God's not coming for Fredericks of Hollywood. He's coming for a pure, holy bride. And beware of these meetings that are telling you it's revival and you're going to get the glory and gold dust is going to fall on you and you're going to get the glory and you're going to get drunk. If there's no holiness, no word, no repentance, and no fear of God, you're in the wrong place. Amen. It's that false signs and wonders that the Bible is talking about in the end times. And these false prophets have sold us out, and they'll just like Carl said last night, they'll put just enough of the word in it to make you think it looks good. But it's a mixture. It's another gospel and another Jesus. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the John the Baptist and all the prophets was repent of your sin. Andrew Strom said that if the first word out of a prophet's mouth is not to repent of your sin, I discount everything he said. You never hear them talk about a person's sin. Recently, I read one about God's raising up a highway, and the sinners can get on it. Well, in Isaiah 35, it says that no sinner, no unclean, no lion, no unclean, and no fool can walk on the highway of holiness. And I wrote this prophet a nice letter, this false prophet. And I said, you're leading the body of Christ astray. He said, I'm taking you off my mailing list because you don't really understand. He said, maybe when they get on the highway, they'll repent. That's heresy. That particular one is popular in Texas, and he's in Kabbalah, in Kabbalah. And I just found out he's associated with the Knight of Malta. The Knight of Malta is a high-up Masonic thing. And you know, in Masons, in every level, they're building a temple, and they call the great architect of the universe God, which is really Lucifer. And when they get to the 30th degree, I believe, they've reached sinless perfection, and they've built the temple. You know, it's the compass and the protractor or whatever, the building square. And when they get to the 30th degree, then they've reached sinless perfection, and they finished the temple. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, but they finished the temple for Lucifer to sit in. And that temple, if you've got Masons in your family, that temple that's been resurrected in you generationally has to be torn down. But there's many of these guys are Knights of Malta. Investigate. Proverbs 27:22 says, though you pound a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, but his folly won't depart from him. A mortar is those things that the druggist grinds pills, or the Indians make corn. It says you can put a fool in one of those and you can just grind him, but he won't let go of his foolishness. And then the next thing is they're dull and unteachable, never seem to get it, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And Jesus said, if you come unto me, I'll teach you. Matthew 11. He says, come unto me, all you labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light, and my load is easy. Acts 28:27-27 says, go to this people and say, you'll keep on hearing, but you'll not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but you'll not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they've closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I should heal them. You know, I believe this has been in all of us coming down generationally. You don't know what your forefathers were involved in. Matthew 13, Jesus told the disciples, they said, Lord, why are you speaking to these people in parables? And he said, to you, disciples, has been granted to know the mystery of the kingdom, but to them, the multitudes, those who are not disciples, those church members who are not disciples, give them ears to hear not, eyes to see not, and a heart that cannot understand so that they can be healed. You know, a disciple, God says, you know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. If you abide in the word of God, you're his disciple. Is that what the word says? It says in one place in Isaiah, give them the tongue of a disciple that they may sustain the weary one with the word, and every morning open their ears to listen as a disciple, and they'll not be disobedient, nor will they turn back. Jesus said, you know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. John 15, bear fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Faith without works is dead. God gives a person that gives him lip service, he turns them over to a spirit of sleep in Isaiah 29. The next thing is, they're uncircumcised of heart, stiff-necked, always resisting the Holy Spirit, Acts 7:51. You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, always resisting the Holy Spirit, you're doing just as your fathers did. The next thing, they're full of pride. You know, Moab means apostasy. Jeremiah 48 says, we've heard of the pride of Moab. He's very proud of his haughtiness. In fact, the Bible says that Satan is king over all the sons of pride. The seventh characteristic is he's peevish, agitated, negative, fretting, complaining, hard to please, easily vexed, and discontented. And in all of that negativity, he spreads strife. He never pleased them. A perverse man spreads strife, Proverbs 16:28. And in Jude 16, it talks about the people that are hidden reefs and love feast in the church. It says they're grumblers, finding fault, falling after their own lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining advantage. Verse 18, and they're in the last time there'll be mockers falling after their own ungodly lust. Discontented. God says godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. The eighth characteristic is they have no protection from the enemy. Proverbs 17:11. A rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. There's no deliverance without repentance. There's no healing without repentance. Psalms 107 says they're prisoners in misery and chains because they've rebelled against the word of God. They're wanton. The next thing is they're wanton, licentious, indulge in sensuality without restraint. They're wounded because of idolatry, unable to receive the blessings of God. As Carl said last night, you cannot have the blessings of God without obedience. God's word is conditional. And you know what? I can tell you, I'm prayed up, confessed up, can't think of one thing that's against the Lord. But God looks down from heaven and he sees so many things wrong with me. But I'm as repentant as I know how to be. Now, he's going to let something kick up in me to show me the next thing he wants to deal with. Instead of saying, oh no, not another problem, say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? He lets those things kick up. And if you don't deal with them, it's another lap around the mountain, and you'll take that right into the grave. I want to get better every day, not bitter. Every place that you buck against God's discipline, you've got bitterness. They live in shame, hopelessness, and unrest. Proverbs 13:18, poverty and shame comes to those who neglect discipline. And the next thing is they speak perversely. God says in His Word, Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart our mouth speaks. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. James 3 says, your tongue sets on fire the very course of your life. That's a sobering thought. It's like your tongue is a rudder and you're the ship. And your ship is guided by the rudder, the tongue. And God, when am I going to learn that? Pretty soon. And then Mark 11, Jesus said, you'll have what you say. Proverbs 6:12 says, a worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a false mouth, who winks with his eyes, who signals with his feet, who points with his fingers, who with perversity in his heart devises evil continually. He spreads strife. Therefore, his calamity will come suddenly, instantly he'll be broken. And then the last thing is that because he's got a defiled conscience, he doesn't have faith. 1 John 3:21 says, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. It also means that freedom of speech. That's what the word clear conscience means, freedom of speech. You know, there are people that you can just tell everything to, correct them. But there are some people you just feel a restraint. That means your conscience isn't clear about something, because when your conscience is clear, you'll have freedom of speech. And so I want you to ask the Lord to show you if any of these things apply to you. You know, one of the ways I've seen a perverse spirit manifest is a person's tongue will go like a snake. Not necessarily, but I have seen that. In one situation, I've seen that. It also, a perverse spirit coming down, it can come down generationally through the sins of the forefathers, the generational leaders of the forefathers, can be one of the causes of scoliosis or a crookedness or a crooked walk or a limp. So ask the Lord to show you if there's anything in your life, if there's a perverse spirit in your life. Stand up if you will, and then just repent of whatever the Lord shows you, and then you can sit back down. We've got a lot of junk on us we were just born with because of the generational iniquities of the forefathers. Lord, I ask you to search my heart, test my thoughts, show me, Lord, what I need to repent of. I want to be steadfast, immovable. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, that I might teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners might be converted. I'd say probably most of you have coming down through the forefathers a perverse spirit. Most of us do. Lord, forgive me for being perverse. Stubborn, inflexible, fixed in opinion, not to be moved off of evil, not to be persuaded by reason, persistent in evil, steady in evil, constant in evil, turned aside, distorted from what's right, ungovernable, unteachable. God, forgive me for being crooked, obstinate, contrary, untrackable, not yielding to discipline, ungovernable. Be sure and pray with me. Forgive me for being difficult, not yielding, not receiving discipline, not coming under authority, indocile, dull, dullness of intellect, petulant, saucy, pert, froward, fretful, forgive me for having a sour temper, being lewd and fickle and double-minded and licentious, indulging in things I shouldn't indulge in. God, forgive me for sensuality without restraint, wanton, freakish in passion, lewd. God, forgive me for being a mutterer, a complainer, being peevish, fretful, easily vexed, querulous, disposed to murmur and complain, discontented, hard to please, easily vexed. God, forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for turning back, Lord. Forgive me for exchanging the truth of God for a lie and worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. God, forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for perverseness that would cause my way to be blocked. God, forgive me for being not yielding to your authority. God, forgive me for not yielding to your discipline. Forgive me for not releasing my sin in the midst of my trials. Forgive me for holding on and holding grudges and holding unforgiveness. Forgive me for being like being a fool that you could put in a mortar with a pestle and be crushed, but yet I'd continue in my folly. Forgive me for that, Lord. Forgive me for being dull and unteachable and never getting it, going backward instead of forward. God, forgive me for my sin of idolatry that would cause you to give me ears to not hear and eyes that don't see and a heart that cannot understand so I could be healed. Forgive me for spiritual adultery, physical adultery. Forgive me for fornication and sexual sin. God, forgive me for being stiff-necked and always resisting your Holy Spirit. Forgive me for pride. God, forgive me for spreading strife, being a grumbler, a fault finder, following after my own lust, speaking arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining advantage. Forgive me for being a mocker, walking in darkness, being wanton, licentious, rebellious. Forgive me, Lord, being fickle, inconsistent, unstable in the things of God. Lord, all this idolatry has caused me to have a lot of wounds, and I ask you to come and heal them. I ask you to show me how to lay down my idols, Lord, so that my wounds will leave in the name of Jesus. You see, when you lay down your idols, he heals your wounds. If you tell me, well, I'm just a wounded person, that just tells me you're just full of idols. Because wherever you have an idol, you have a wound. Wherever you get your button pushed, you have an idol. Wherever you're angry, you have an idol. Wherever you get depressed, you have an idol. Whatever makes you mean, there's idolatry. All sin is rooted in idolatry. You may not bow down to Buddha, but I'm telling you, if you're like me, you've had plenty idols. And I've laid them all down, but you know what? God will probably show me another one next week that I didn't even see. And you know, when he's through with you is when you step into heaven, and then he's through purifying you. How many of you, I've had people say, well, you know, I've already gone through deliverance. It never stops. Or I'm filled with, they tell me all this perversion and all this stuff, but I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on. Filled with the unholy spirit. Not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is holy. He wants to make us holy. God, forgive me for idolatry that's caused me to have many wounds. And I just want to repent of my idolatry. Forgive me for speaking perversely, speaking negatively. Forgive me for walking with a false mouth, winking with my eyes, signaling with my feet, pointing with my fingers, having perversity in my heart, devising evil continually, spreading strife, which would cause calamity to come suddenly, instantly to me to be broken. And Lord, I ask you to purify my heart. Pray with me. Lord, I forgive my mother and father for all these things I've confessed. I forgive my forefathers for their perversion, for their perverseness, for being crooked. I forgive them, Lord. And Lord, I take accountability for whatever, y'all pray with me. I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life to be stubborn and perverse in the name of Jesus. And I command stubbornness, perverseness, crookedness, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I command spirits of fickleness, obstinacy, stubbornness, stiff-necked, I command you to go. Contrary, go. Untreatable, leave. Ungovernable, rebellion, bitterness, resentment, anger, jealousy, terror has to go in Jesus' name. I just take out the vine of Sodom. And Lord, we ask you to connect us to the true vine in the name of Jesus. I just come against all spirits that would cause us to be saucy and pert and froward and fretful and fickle and licentious. Go, sour temper, leave. But touchy. Lord, forgive me for being touchy. Sensitive. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we just command sensuality, wantonness, passion, lewdness, leave in Jesus' name. All spirits of being hard to please, easily vexed, discontented, fretting, in Jesus' name, go in Jesus' name. Hot temper, leave in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. You perverse, crooked spirit of the forefathers, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, praise you, mighty God. Lord, we break all satanic vows, oaths, and covenants to the Masons, to Satanism, to the occult, to witchcraft, to any false god. We renounce every religion that denies the blood atonement and a deity of Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to bless your children with encouragement that there is light ahead. I bless them to be encouraged in Jesus' name. I bless them to know that you're not finished with anybody and that you're not going to throw us away. Lord, we get on your potter's wheel. You're the potter and we're the clay. Lord, take this junky mess and make something out of it. But you got to stay on the potter's wheel. And when you get flung off, get back on. And when you get flung off, get back on. Confess your sin and get back on. And you know what? You'll fall off less and less. Amen? God bless you. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. In Jesus' name. I command every demon to go in the name of Jesus. And when you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's all. Just the blood of Jesus. God bless you. Lord, give us a peaceful night's sleep. Let us wake up and feel like we slept 100 hours.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.